Greetings, this is James Gunn with Edge Wears Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We just finished the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference, which was an amazing success. The people here just went through a major transformation, and it was really nice to see people. Actually, when they were leaving, they were crying, and they said, well, you know, we just don't want to leave. So I saw that over and over again, and I said, you know, you're not alone. There's quite a few other people feeling the same way. But just the, you know, the companionship, the camaraderie, the coming together, and the amazing speakers that we had, the lineup was just incredible. And everybody just fully cooperated, and it went off without a hitch. It was just an awesome, awesome conference. The ships came in, and they did their performance and did their dazzle duty, what we call it, and lit up the field, and it was pretty amazing. One ship in particular came in and brightened up. It powered up and got very bright as it went over the field, and it threw a huge pulse off that just went through everybody in the field, and you felt it. So that went along with the visuals, and a lot of people are calling in with that experience and talking about it. And I'm really hoping somebody got some of that on film, because there's a lot of photographs of it, but we're hoping somebody got it on video. There's all kinds of ships coming in. I know there were a lot of people out there with video cameras, but you know, you don't have very much time to get these on the camera, and you're usually just totally blown away. You don't even know you have a camera on you when these things happen. So hopefully we'll get some videotape on that. But we did get some just phenomenal pictures, which are going to be up on the site real soon. So the paranormal photographs and the dimensions opening up and the light spheres and everything else that happened there, we actually got on film, and people actually going out of body. You know, just amazing photographs where you see people outside their body hovering above them, and just incredible things happened at this event. There's, you know, no words can even explain some of it, and I can't even explain some of it. It was such an interesting experience. But anyway, we did get it on film, and it'll be up on the site real soon. That's about it. We are going to have Glenn Kimball coming up the 30th and the 31st coming to the ranch, and we're going to have an 8808 gathering here. And also September 10th, we're going to have a gathering. So stay tuned, and we'll have that up on the site as well, what we're going to be doing there. I don't want to get too further in because we've got a lot of information to cover, and I'd like to introduce our next guest, Karen Anderson. Are you with us?
I am here.
Oh, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you have an interesting gift, and that is the gift to communicate with animals.
I do, but you know what, James? I think we all have that ability.
Mm-hmm. And so would we call you Mrs. Doolittle?
You can, yes. I've been called a lot of things. That's certainly one of them.
I love that show.
I did too.
And, you know, I always feel the only problem we have communicating with animals is making them, projecting on them that they are just stupid animals. And if we would see them as friends and as intelligent and project that on them, they are so subjective. Our whole interface would change.
I think I've learned more from animals about life and living and death and dying than any human has ever taught me.
Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the stories or some of the openings that you had with the animals?
Oh, my gosh. There's many, many favorites that I have, and, you know, every session is unique and different, but there are a few that stand out that I would love to share. I was in Austin, Texas, and I was at a Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo. And I was having a session with a client, and we were connecting with one of her deceased dogs. And during the session, there were many, many wonderful messages that came through. And suddenly, the dog informed me that there was another energy that was trying to get a message through. And so what we had happen after that, James, was just an incredible experience for all of us. But the woman who was sitting for the session with me, it was her deceased husband who came through,
mm-hmm.
and all courtesy of the dog. And they were over, the dog and the husband were together on the other side. And so when I had connected with the dog, he showed me that his daddy was there. I call you their moms and dads. And we had all of these incredible messages come through from the husband and that the dog was there, and they were still together, and they were taking care of each other, and it was just wonderful, and it was like a big reunion. And the client sat there with tears in her eyes, just beaming and smiling and just so happy. And then after the session was over, she told me that that very day was the one-year anniversary of her husband's passing. So it was a very, very incredible, special moment for her.
Did they give you any information about what it's like there, or the plane that they were on?
They do. The animals have shared with me that it's all love. Everything is love. Everything around you is love, and everything around you is beautiful and peaceful and calm. And when they come through to me from the other side, they are as comfortable and calm and relaxed as if they're sitting on your living room couch next to you. I mean, it's a very peaceful, wonderful feeling when they come through. Some of them describe it to me that they're in the midst of a beautiful outdoor space, and yet others show me that they're right in your living room right next to you, and it's whatever they want it to be, and they describe it sometimes in quite a bit of detail.
Now, I wonder on their side, do they still eat and drink and do all the other things that they do on this level?
You know, everything is done on the other side through thought. So if you have the thought that you want to have a big celebration with lots of food and drink and all of that, it's all just the thought away, and all you have to do is think about it, and it's there. So you experience things a little bit differently there because of your form. You're in the form of energy, so it's not quite physical like what you and I are experiencing now.
So the animals just think of the dog food, you know, the bowl being full, and it manifests, or do they send the thought to the owner and they have to manifest the dog food?
No, they have to just think of it themselves. They're very self-thinking, and they just think of it themselves. And, you know, if they want their favorite treat or their favorite toy or whatever, they just think of it, and it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite interesting. I've heard, you know, very similar cases. I mean, sometimes we just don't apply the same thing to animals that we do to humans. And we forget, you know, that they do have animals in heaven as well.
They sure do. And you know, the one thing I think that surprises most people, most of the clients that I talk to, is they think that heaven or the other side is somewhere very far away from us or not close by. But I found that to be very much not the case. The animals have showed me that they're very much around us, those that have passed on. They often tell me, James, what their moms and dads are doing currently in their life, even though they have passed on, and they'll even share with me sometimes little detailed information like what their mom and dad had to eat for lunch the day before. I mean, it's amazing detail and accuracy that they come through with. I had a client of mine in Chicago was very, very upset and missing her 7-year-old dog who had died of a very, very bad, long illness. And so I checked in with him for her, and there were many wonderful messages that were coming through, but she was really upset and crying and said, "Karen, how do I know he's with me? How do I know he's around me? I just miss him so much." Well, at that very moment that she said that, James, the dog showed me a big plate of Mexican food, tacos and rice and beans and the whole thing. And so I asked her if she had Mexican food lately, and she laughed and said, "Well, yeah, I was just at Chipotle for lunch yesterday." And I said, "Well, your dog's telling me that he was there, and he's telling me to tell you that you skipped the sauce." And she couldn't believe it, because she had actually told them to leave the sour cream on the side because she was trying to watch her calories, so she did tell them to put the sour cream on the side.
Yeah, so that's interesting, especially when you get details.
They know amazing things about us and our lives and what we're doing, and they're always around us, they're always with us, so it's hard for some of my clients to understand that their animals are around them because they can't see them or feel them anymore, but they are very much still there.
Yeah, I had a horse pass away, and I was you know, kind of upset about it because I did all this intense energy work on her, and she got back up again, and the vet said she was basically going to die in the next hour or so, and she just stood right back up and seemed fine. And, you know, she, and then about a week later, she was bowing her head down looking to the west, and I said, "Something's wrong," and I walked over there, and she bowed her head all the way down and looked up at me, and I could just hear goodbye, you know,
it's right.
And fell over dead. you know, and I was kind of like, you know, every once in a while you have to curse the heavens. So I was just saying, what's wrong with, I go, one horse, you know, I'm not asking that much out of all the work I've done, you know. I said, just to get, you know, heal this one horse. And it's funny, and this old Native American friend of mine came up and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, do they have horses in heaven? You know, and I just went, oh, man, you know, but. And so, you know, having had my own near-death experience, I don't have any problems with death or other people. I know where they're going, but I had to connect that inside that, well, wait a second, the animals go there too.
They do.
You know, we don't think of that. And you know, and she really needed to go. I was told I was being very selfish because she was old and she couldn't keep up with the other horses, and it was very selfish of me to try to keep her, you know, keep her here, and I was interfering in her own soul evolution.
And many times, I think those of us who have to struggle with the end of one of our animal companions' lives, whether it be from an illness or injury or even old age, I think there's a lot of struggle that goes into it, and that's one of the most common reasons why people call me, because they want to make sure that they're deciding to do this at the right time, or that they're saying goodbye at the right time, that their animals are either ready to go or that they're not keeping them here in pain. And they love to be able to check in and hear what their animals' wishes are, because some animals like to pass on their own at their own time, at home, by themselves or with family or whatever, and then other ones don't. They don't want to go through the struggle. And so it's always, I think it's helpful just to know what their perspective is, what their thoughts and feelings are, because then at least you can make an educated decision. You can have an informed decision based on what the animals want instead of just going on your own thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, and then it relieves a lot of guilt, too.
It does.
Did I do the right thing? And
it does. You know, I'm the same as everyone else. I struggle with all the same issues. Is this the right time? And the amazing thing about it is that the animals are so accepting of the death and dying process. And this is the one thing that they've taught me. I have no fear of dying. I have no fear of the other side, just based on what the animals have shared with me, because it's such a natural and normal process for them. And they don't understand sometimes, James, why we get so upset. They don't understand why we're crying. They don't understand why we're in so much pain. But they're very accepting and understanding. And they don't necessarily see a long life as equaling a successful life. You know, humans tend to think that you have to live for a very long time to have a good, successful, fulfilled, and satisfying life, and animals just don't see it that way. Sure, they have a strong will to survive, and, you know, of course they have survival instincts, but many times I've checked in with animals who have passed away either at a young age or you know, even still puppies or kittens that don't make it, and they tell me that their purpose was fulfilled, and it was simply their time, and they were very accepting of that, and they had a wonderful life, and they talk about it very, very nonchalantly as far as the length of time they were here. They just don't see it the way that we do.
Yeah, I've seen that with humans, too. It's some children come in and check out at an early age, and, you know, we never know what a soul needs for completion. And, you know, maybe they just need to come in for, you know, a couple of years or 10 years. Who knows? You know, and they were done, and they went on back to heaven.
This is exactly the same with animals. They don't necessarily have to be here for 15, 20 years to complete their purpose.
Exactly. Yeah, it's you just never know. That's what I find all the time is I find great comfort in that, that I don't know.
You know?
It's just like, oh, people go, well, why'd they check out so early? And I just go, you know, I don't know. That was their program, I guess. You know, they just came in to do something and did it. And
sometimes we're not supposed to know. Sometimes those answers are not supposed to be there for us. And we need to figure things out, and we need to experience it. And so there aren't always answers that we're seeking. But the purpose that the animals have with us and the reason that they're in our lives are very important to them as well as to our soul's growth and our soul's evolution. And it's very much intertwined. And I hear time and time and time again how animals have been with us many times in past lives and will be with us many times again, even in this current lifetime, let alone in the future. So that's another thing that the animals have taught me. I used to never even give reincarnation a second thought because I didn't really think about it or let alone believe in it. And now it's so amazing to me how many animals tell me that they've been with their moms and dads before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had I had a golden retriever, and she lived almost 22. She almost made it to be 22 years old. And, you know, she finally gave it up, and you know, it's like losing a kid almost. And I said, you know, I'm not going to get another dog. It is almost like having a kid because there are a lot of responsibility, and I was traveling a lot. And then I started having these dreams, and I could see this other dog, and I knew I was going to have another dog. I knew exactly what it looked like. And what was interesting is I found it, and I found this puppy, and it had all the exact markings of what I had the dream about, and so I, you know, grabbed this puppy, and but it's having some experiences right now. It's only 4 years old, and it's got a little something happened to it. I don't know if it's this rib problem or what, but it's one of these blue heelers, and it's a blue heeler corgi mix, and it likes to herd people and cars as well.
Oh no.
So I think it might have got a little whack or something, but it's real touchy, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. But it's real touchy on one of its sides, you know, like a rib or something. But,
oh. Sounds like something got it.
Yeah, either a car got it or, you know, it goes out and it goes after these elk. And we have a lot of deer and a lot of elk here, and you know, it think it's as big as the elk, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it is truly amazing to me just how much the animals seem to know about us and even our issues. I just had a session the other day where the client called me because her cat had stopped eating. And this was a 7-year-old healthy cat. Mm-hmm. And during the session, it came out that the cat was basically reflecting issues that the client wasn't facing in her own life. So there were some things that were happening that she wasn't dealing with in her business, she was self-employed, and she wasn't dealing with these issues. And so we did some energy work and found out that there were some past lives that the two of them had been in together, and there was some kind of issue with not being able to eat and not having enough food and not being able to take care of each other even in the past, and they were bringing mm-hmm. all of these issues forward into this current lifetime. And so once we got her into a regression and she was able to deal with some of the things that she hasn't been facing with in this life, they regressed her even further back in her past lives. Everybody is now on the mend. Mm-hmm. You know, who would have thought? Who would think this stuff? I mean, I can't even believe it sometimes when we get to the end of the session and we find out exactly what's going on. It's just truly amazing.
Now, they'll even take on illnesses and, you know, they'll take on diseases of their owners and things of that nature as well, correct?
They will. They do and they will. And part of it is wonderful because there are healers, there are teachers. They really are there for us when we need them. And I know that when I'm not feeling well and I'm sick and maybe sometimes I'm not even getting out of bed, all of mine come to me and they literally lay on me like they're trying to draw out the bad, you know, get mm-hmm. rid of the sick. And the animals will often take on their humans' illness, injury, whatever. Sometimes it'll manifest exactly the same, like mm-hmm. a back injury will manifest as a back injury in the animal.
Yeah.
And then other times it manifests just into a whole lot of strange and, you know, the vets are scratching their heads trying to figure out what's wrong with the animal. Well, what I can do is I can trace it back and see if the animal's pulling it from the human. And then we can help the human deal with their issues so that we can release the animal of holding on to it, too. I mean, it's really, they're just amazing. The animals are just such amazing creatures. Mm-hmm. They truly are.
Yeah, they never cease to amaze me, some of the things. I'm trying to teach my dog to talk right now. He's you know, he problem solves. If you have a situation that there'll be about 5 steps involved in it, he'll go through all the steps and solve the problem, where most dogs will go to one and stop.
Right.
And he's just not a normal dog. And when you shine a light in his eyes, all the other dogs I've seen up here reflect red light back, and his are green.
Oh, wow.
Which are real strange. He's got all these strange anomalies to him, and we have video of him running straight up these 10-foot walls, and you just can't believe it when you see it. When you're looking at it, it just you can't believe it. And so I videotaped it to show people, where he almost defies gravity. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but he runs straight up these walls, and other dogs would be following him, and he just goes straight up the wall, and they'll make it about halfway up and jump and then fall back, and that's it.
Wow.
But he's not a normal dog. I'm thinking he might have been dropped off by somebody here.
Sounds very special to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it just never ceases to amaze me, too, that the animals during a session, they seem to know exactly what their humans need to hear, and sometimes the messages make no sense to me at all, because I don't live with you and I don't live with your animal, but
mm-hmm.
it means everything in the world to you. And a perfect example of this is I was at an expo in Portland, Oregon, and there was a client who came in, and she was actually there with a friend because she was so distraught over the death of her dog. She had a little pug, a 16-year-old pug, that she couldn't even cope. She was just completely devastated. She was not really functioning. She was not doing very well. She sat very much kind of cold and unresponsive during the session, and I was connecting with her dog and giving her many, many messages, and she finally started to kind of show some emotion, and suddenly the dog said to me, "Tell her French fries," and showed me a big, huge McDonald's French fries. Just flashed it to me. So I said, "What is this?" And the dog said, just tell her French fries. And this woman is sitting across from me, practically saying nothing at all, just crying and sad and missing her dog. So I told her, "I'm supposed to say French fries. I'm supposed to tell you French fries." I said, "Did you feed your dog French fries?" Well, this very slow smile started to come across her face. And then she started to laugh. And then she started to cry, but it was happy tears. And then she told me the story that one of their favorite things to do, the two of them, her and her dog, was to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and she would always get an order of fries just for the dog.
Uh-huh.
And that this was the most special, wonderful memory that she could ever possibly have, and thank you so much. That's what she needed to hear. She walked away from that session, and it was like she was walking on sunshine. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it was just so healing. It was so incredible to see the change in her, because now that she knew that her dog was still there, still with her, still around her, and was still wanting its French fries.
That's interesting. Those pugs, I always say those pugs are so ugly, they're cute.
They are very cute, I know.
You know?
I know, they are.
You just want to hug them, you know, they're just so funny.
I know, they
funny
do
looking.
They do a little snort thing. I mean, they're just amazing. But, you know, it's like, I just deliver the message. The animals send what we need to hear, and it amazes me, some of the things that they can come
mm-hmm.
through with, and the things that they know about us. They know about our health issues, like you said. They know about our jobs and our careers. They know about our relationships. They don't know detailed information. Like
mm-hmm.
I had someone email me the other day, and they asked me, "Can you talk to a horse and predict who's going to win a race?" You know, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not always. They don't always understand the big picture or the agendas behind it, because humans have a lot of agendas behind what they do and behind what motivates them, and animals just don't. They're just very
mm-hmm.
much in the moment. They're very much about here and now. They don't spend a lot of time thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. They're very much right now. Food, water, shelter, treats
mm-hmm.
and toys, love and hugs, you know, that's what they're all about. So it really is amazing how much they know about us. I had one time during a session with a cat, they showed me upside down numbers, And I never saw this before, so I had to ask the client, why would your cat be showing me upside down numbers? Well, we finally figured out that they were in the process of purchasing a business, her and her husband. And their accountant was reviewing the tax returns and the books of the business that they were buying. Well, they later, after the session, they discovered that the books had been padded and the numbers had been kind of pumped up to make it look like the business was doing better than it was. So therefore, it was truly in the red instead of being in the black, like they were trying to get them to believe it was that the business was in the black, and so therefore the upside down numbers. So, I mean, it was like a warning from her cat to be careful of this business that you're buying because it's in the red. It amazes me what they know and what information.
I had that happen with me once. My parents were buying this hardware store, and they're going to put some of the rest of the family, you know, in the business. And I just saw huge letters, beware of the books, you know, beware of the books. And I told them, you know, of course they didn't listen. And they bought it anyway, and the exact same thing happened. It was so padded, you know, and the guy was running three or four businesses out of this hardware store that were feeding it. And, you know, and he's a very good, solid Christian patriarch here in the town, you know.
Right.
And, you know, every time I see him, I just shake my head, you know, just saying, boy, you really fooled yourself here. And your light review is going to be very interesting.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And it never ceases to amaze me, too, like if animals don't know what the name of something is or if they don't know what something is called, sometimes they'll just flash the image of it to me. And sometimes I'll know immediately what it is, and then other times I won't have a clue what they're talking about, and I have to start describing it. And it could be something in your house or something in your yard and, you know, something they see on a regular basis.
But, do you do long-distance work, or do you have to have the animal there?
No, I do. In fact, all of my work is done over the phone. I like to work off of a photograph because it's basically like having that animal's cell phone number. I can just dial them up directly. So I work from a photo, and my sessions are all done over the phone. And so you don't have to be anywhere near me, and I don't have to be anywhere near the animal to connect with them. It's all done from far away distances.
Oh, good. I find it's easier to work that way sometimes. You know?
I do too. You know,
you can
everyone.
Get clear information.
Yeah, everyone's comfortable and at home. And a lot of people think, oh, well, I have to bring my animal to you. You have to be looking at my animal, touching my animal. You know, it's actually quite distracting. And sometimes the animals get, you know, some like, you know, having others around, some don't. You know, I have some animals that are scared and they don't really do well away from the house. And then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you take a dog to a new place, they're going to be paying attention to all the new smells and the new sounds. They're not going to be paying attention to me.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not going to get as good of a session necessarily in person as you would if you just allowed me to connect over the phone telepathically, because everyone is in a comfortable place doing what they normally do, and nobody's stressed or in a different environment. So.
Now, I've had two experiences, and I'll bet you've had a lot of people call you or tell you the same thing, but one, my horse, I used to go out in the field, and this horse would just run full blast up to me and just hit the brakes and stop, and, you know, and I'd give it oats or a carrot or whatever, and what happened is after it died, I was out in the field and I heard these hooves coming up, you know, really hot and furious coming right up to me, and then nothing. I mean, there was no horse or anything. And I go, well, that was interesting. Here I'm hearing this horse running, but there's no horse. And one of the dogs I lost, she had a high-pitched, shrill bark whenever she'd see something. It would go right through you. And the two nights after she died, I kept hearing her barking, and it was like an undeniable bark. You couldn't miss it. It was so high-pitched. And it woke me up twice, and I got up out of dead sleep, and I said, you know, I got to go find out what she's barking at. And then I remembered that she died. You know, so I'm sure you hear a lot of stories very similar to that.
I do. In fact, you know, so many people tell me that they have had their animals come to them in dreams, very, very vivid dreams after they have died, the animals. And they also tell me that they feel them sometimes in their favorite spot, or there's a warm spot on the bed or a warm spot on the floor where their dog or their cat used to lie, or they'll see something out of the corner of their eye, and then when they look up, it's gone. They'll hear their tags clinking. Mm-hmm. They'll hear fingernails clicking on the floor, or they'll hear the dog bowl moving across the floor. I hear this so many times, and it comes, you know, as no surprise to me at all. And it's amazing how everybody still wants confirmation that that's really their animal. Is it really them, Karen? Is it really them visiting me? Yes, it's really them. And let them know that you appreciate their visit. If you tell them, thank you for visiting me, and say their name out loud and say it often and say it with a smile on your face, it draws them to you like a magnet, and then they will come and visit even more. And if you don't acknowledge them, James, it's sometimes they get a little tired of, like, always knocking at your door but nobody answers. They can see you in the mm-hmm. window, but you're not coming to the door. They get kind of tired of trying, and they don't try so hard. So be sure that if you sense or feel or suspect that your animals are around and visiting you, and even if you don't, still just let them know that you would so much appreciate a visit and you welcome them in. They don't want to scare us, so they're usually going to be quite subtle in their leaving a message. And then other times, you've had some pretty extreme cases, hearing the hoofbeats and then the barking. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the messages are very, very subtle, just a slight movement past you, a slight depression in the bed, just something slightly passing by, a change in temperature. And then, like what you experienced, James, it can be quite extreme. You could have an incredible experience or a very, very vivid dream. And I hear this all the time, and I'm always reassuring people, yes, this is really how they let us know that they're okay. Some of them even send us little gifts like pennies or feathers or butterflies or even the special song that reminds us of them, and they send us, they'll put it on our car radio, and they just love it when we acknowledge them after they have passed on. They love to hear you say their name. It's like music to their ears.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell everyone, say their name, say it out loud, and say it often and with a big smile on your face, because it just draws them to you.
Have you ever... you know, I don't know how the communication works with you, if it's just kind of an inner feeling or a prompting, but one time the weirdest thing happened to me. I was out, you know, just walking around, and I was cleaning out the stall of the horse, and one of the horses, and I was saying, you know, I was kind of like talking to her and go, you know, I probably could have done a better job of, you know, giving you a little more oats and things like that. I'm going to try to get a little better hay, and all of a sudden she just started thanking me and said, no, it's been great, you know, and I just, it was like somebody talking to me, standing right next to me, and I mean, I thought I was losing it. I went, wait a minute, you know, I go, that was as clear as a bell, just like somebody talking to me, and then it never happened again. I think it shocked me at first, and then that, just that shock about it, you know, it didn't happen. I could kind of feel what she was thinking and feeling, but, I mean, I actually heard clear as a bell as if she was talking to me.
I very much have that experience. It's clear audience is what
mm-hmm.
it is, and clear hearing. And I also get a feeling from them or a knowing, and they also send me emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all a little different how we receive their messages. So you may be very good at hearing or sensing, feeling their thoughts, and then others might be better at, you know, at something else, and seeing the images, because sometimes the animals will flash images, and I thought I was going nuts too the first time I heard one of my own cats as an adult talk to me as I was walking across the kitchen floor one morning to make coffee, and out of the clear blue nowhere, I said good morning to him, and he said, I'm blocked. And this cat had FUS, which is a feline urinary syndrome, where they mm-hmm. can get blocked, and it's a very serious condition. And he's constantly suffered from this problem. And so I looked down at him. I really thought I was losing my mind. I looked down at him, and I said, Biza, did you say that? And he said, yes, I'm blocked. But the thing was, I heard it in my own head, and it was in my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thought I was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some other people might experience it in a different voice, like a masculine voice or a feminine voice or a different voice entirely. That's still them sending you a message. I just happen to hear it in my own voice, in my own head. And I write about this in very great detail in my book, which is out now. It's called Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator. I was very much an unsuspecting, non-psychic person when I got into this as an adult. I had no idea what it was. I had no idea how any of it worked. And I was actually a police officer at the time when I received the first message from one of my own animals. And so it's just kind of an amazing story how it all came together. And now looking back, I see the synchronicity of it all. And I see how everything just kind of worked out the way it was supposed to. But as it was happening, it was just a very strange experience for me. And there were people, my friends and family, who thought I was nuts. I mean, I've been called very bad things by people who are close to me.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, being a cop, you have pretty tough skin, and so I can take it. But,
yeah.
You know, for a time there, it's very frustrating when you're excited about something and you want to share something with someone, and they think you're nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went through that all my life, basically. You know, wait till you start seeing UFOs and nobody believes you, and then you start filming them, and they still don't believe you.
Right. And you're constantly trying to prove something, you know. It's like everybody always wants you to prove it. And, you know, it's really such an incredible experience. You just want to share it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like just be open and share. And
well, that's what I tell people here. I said, you know, they want me to prove it to them. And I said, I'm not here to prove anything. It's between you and them. You have to rise to the occasion. And
I do the same thing. I have people do the same thing to me that they ask me all the time, how do you deal with skeptics and cynics? And I said, you know, I really don't. I don't have to deal with skeptics and cynics because I don't work that way. If somebody
mm-hmm.
is open to the process and they want to experience it, I'm happy to help them through it and experience it. But if someone is cynical or if somebody is really just looking to disprove me, I don't have any interest in that. I have no desire to go there.
No, it's you know, basically if they're trying to disprove you or discredit you, that's the reality that they're creating. And there's nothing you can do to snap them out because that's where they want to be. They want
right.
to be in that program.
And here's exactly how I feel. I feel that for those who believe, no proof is necessary. And for those who don't believe, no proof is ever enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had people here. I mean, we have 70 hours of footage and, you know, several thousand witnesses. We just had 250 people here over the weekend and just had phenomenal activity, and everybody got photos and video. Everything is just amazing. But, you know, I you still have people saying, you know, they're going, well, you have no proof whatsoever. And I go, where have you been, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the armchair investigators that sit back and they won't go in and do their own investigation, you know, just as people saw you work with other animals and they'd realize, hey, this is real. But, you know, they're always throwing darts from afar. You know, it's
right.
amazing.
You know what I think it is, too, James, and maybe you can relate to this, is I really think it's all based on fear.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. You know, fear of the unknown, fear of looking foolish. You know, it's all fear-based. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was a cop. There's not a whole heck of a lot that I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
I just don't have fears like that. And, you know, my way of thinking is a little bit different than others. But, you know, I really do think, even when it comes to my own family members and those that are still a little bit like my dad, God bless him, I love him, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tells people that I psychoanalyze animals. And I just let him say that because it's easier for me to deal with him that way. And,
oh,
okay,
yeah.
Dad, yeah, I psychoanalyze animals. Yeah, that's what I do. But that's okay. And he's not open. He's not ready. And he won't be in this lifetime. There's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But again, I think that even comes from a fear issue.
Oh, definitely. I found out basically you have to find that space where you just don't need any further acceptance and approval outside of yourself, and you just follow in your own soul purpose. And then you can just let people, even friends, family, everything, you let them do their thing and hold those belief systems if they want. But, you know, you just move on and start hanging out with people that are rising to the occasion, that are awake.
I think that is just so true. And, you know, I think that's why we, like people like you and I, we tend to hang around with others who support and are of the same work and genre that we do, because it's really nice to talk to someone who gets it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice to have somebody that understands and that knows where you're coming from. And this isn't an exact science, what I do. You know, it's not black and white. There's a lot of gray areas, and there's a lot of messages that come through that we don't necessarily understand what everything means right away. And that's why I record the sessions for my clients, because then they can go back and listen to it over and over again. I have clients writing back to me months after a session, and they'll say, Karen, I finally figured out what the frog reference was. My mother-in-law has frogs all over her bathroom, and she takes care of my dog when I'm gone. So, you know, sometimes a message will come through. We don't know what it means right at that moment. It doesn't mean that that message is wrong or inaccurate. It just means that they haven't been able to place it yet.
Yeah, it's like putting it on the shelf and waiting.
Exactly.
I always tell people, you know, if this, I've had that happen with me quite a bit, where I'll say something to somebody and I'll go, why did I say that? That had nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and they come back later on and they go, you know what you said to me? That was so profound. It was exactly what I needed to hear.
Yep.
And they said, remember that time? And I said, no. I have no memory of it whatsoever. And I don't even remember what I said.
I don't either. And people will come up to me and say, oh, Karen, remember when this and this happened in the session? And I go, no. Because it's coming out so fast, I'm just delivering a message. I'm not sitting there, you know,
mm-hmm.
listening to it the way they are. But it is pretty amazing sometimes.
It's coming from an altered state.
Yes.
And a lot of times that they don't communicate real well with this level.
Yep.
And so that all the information that comes in from that level, it doesn't really get fully registered on this level at all.
Well, and I just had a session on Monday, and the client is actually a repeat client of mine, and
mm-hmm.
We were connecting with one of her cats, and during the session, her deceased father came through. And what was amazing to me, James, was that nobody could anticipate what he came through with, because the primary message was that he was still not quitting smoking, and I literally could smell cigarette smoke all around me, and he was teasing with his daughter about he still hadn't quit smoking yet. Well, she informed me that he had died of emphysema and had refused to quit smoking while he was here, and, you know, suffered terribly and had a pretty tragic ending, and that if he had only quit smoking, he probably would have lived longer and would have had a healthier life and happier life. He came through, and his message was teasing about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was perfectly fine with what happened to him.
Uh-huh.
He took full responsibility for it and was making a kind of a teasing little gesture joke about it from the other side. And who would guess that that would be the one thing, the one message that her dad, other, you know, of course, sending his love and letting her know that he's there and with her and all that, but he was teasing about still not quitting smoking.
He can probably smoke all he wants without any consequences on the other side.
He can do whatever he wants. He can smoke 200 packs a day if he wanted to.
Yeah. Are you open to taking some calls?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to give out the call numbers. And if anybody wants to call in for find some information about the animals, your animals, or the work that Karen does, the number is 877-876-5227. We also have another line here for our Canadians. We've got 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. So let me give you those numbers again at 877-876-5227 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. So if anybody wants to call in and ask a question, the lines are open, and we'll continue with the interview. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
One of my all-time favorites of all times, and again, this I write about it in my book, too. I was at an expo in Santa Monica, California, and this lovely, nice, older couple came in with a picture of their little dog, and they sat down for a session, and they were very well-to-do. They were very well-dressed, and you could tell that they were very well-off. Sweet little couple. And this little dog, his name was Casanova. They called him Nova for short. He went on and on about how much he loved his mom. He loved his dad. He loved everything. He loved his treats, his toys, his bed, the yacht that he gets to go out on. He went on and on. And they were hanging on every single word that this little dog was saying, hanging there on every single word. Well, towards the end of the session, I asked the little dog, is there something special that only you and your mom and dad know about that I can tell them? And he thought about it for a minute, and he said, tell them they smell to me. They smell to me. And I thought, oh, no, how am I going to tell this perfectly delightful, lovely couple that their little dog thinks they smell? And I really started to panic, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, I have a steadfast rule that I go by. I deliver the message as I get it, and I don't alter it. I don't change it. I don't modify it. Whatever I get, I deliver that to the client. Well, fortunately for me, James, I went back to this little dog, and I said to him, did you say your mom and dad smell to you? And he said, no. I said, they spell to me. And then he proceeded to spell out the words W-A-L-K-O-U-T and R-I-D-E. And so I turned to his mom and dad and I said, do you spell to your dog? And they went, oh, my gosh, yes. We do spell to him. He's so smart. We have to spell the words out so he doesn't know what we're saying. Well, the little dog's in the background going, I still know what they're saying. I still know what they're saying.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Welcome to As You Wish. Are you with us?
I am. Hi, James. This is Sue from Ketchum, Idaho, and I was actually up at your ranch last weekend for the conference. And
oh, great.
Had a great time, and I was just wondering, my dog, Molly, got a promotion and passed away about a year ago, and I had spoken to another pet psychic and got a message from her, and I just wondered if you had any information you could share with me.
Well, tell me, first of all, what kind of dog was Molly? What did she look like? What was her coloring? How big was she?
Okay, well, she was kind of one of those Heinz 57s, but she looked something like a coyote. She was a shepherd mix with beautiful copper brown hair and some black around her eyes, and medium size, about 49 pounds.
Okay, well, the one thing that I have to tell you, Sue, that's coming through to me,
yes,
is there is this beautiful, I want to say, precious soul coming through. I have this sweet, gentle, genuinely loving girl coming through. Now, does this describe your girl?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I'm literally being, wrapped with her love. She wraps her love around you. It's like she can't get it around you fast enough, soon enough, quick enough. She wraps her love around you. It feels like when you pull the covers up over you on a Sunday morning and you know you don't have to get out of bed for anything, that feels so good. I mean, I literally just want to snuggle into her. This is how she's coming through to me.
Aww.
So love, 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 and I want to describe to you how it looks to me. She sends you effervescent bubbles of love. So that looks like little soda pop bubbles there that are coming towards you. And then as they get to you, these little bubbles of love burst as they get to you. This is what she's sending. What a sweet, wonderful girl she is. How long now, a year since she has passed?
Just about exactly 1 year, yeah.
Okay. She feels like totally peaceful. I have to tell you, it feels so good. Her energy feels so good. She's so balanced. So the work that you have done, Sue, to help her and to stay connected to her is doing a fantastic job. Many times when I connect with an animal who has passed on, they're very unbalanced because of us. Because we're holding them back, we're not ready to let them go. This is quite the contrary. You have done a fabulous job, and I want to commend you and compliment you on how well-balanced she is and how you have really done a great job on sending her on her journey, which will never take her away from you. It will only keep her around you and with you, just letting her continue her journey. You've done a great job, so I need to share that with you. As well. And let me see if...
Be sure to send my love to her.
And she can hear you. She's acknowledging. She gives a nod, and she's also telling me that she had... there was something about her eyes or the look that she could give you, because she's giving me this very, focused look. She's really making me focus on her eyes, and I have, like, very intense. In a positive way, but it's just like I'm just drawn into those eyes, and she keeps showing them to me, and I just can't get over the fact of how well balanced she is. You've just done an amazing job with her. She's telling me that there's two more with her. She says two more with her, so it looks like she's there with two others that she wants to bring up to you.
Dogs or people?
I believe these are she's saying one of them is a big spirit energy, so I would get that to be a human, and then it looks like I have a smaller spirit energy there, so it looks like the other one is an animal, so I have one human and one animal energy there with her, she's telling me. And is there a D as in David connected to you or connected to her? A D named person, D like David?
Possibly passed over or?
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
She's showing me a D. A D like David.
Yeah.
Okay. She's placing that right in front of me, so I just need to bring that up to you.
Okay.
And that's what they do. They'll sometimes drop a word down in front of me, or a letter, or they'll put someone's initials in front of me. They often do that. Let me see what else she wanted to say. She's telling me she's still your gorgeous girl, she says. She's still your gorgeous girl. And then she's, did she have problems with her hips, Sue?
Not significantly.
Because I'm getting something coming through about the hips, and if it's not about her, then it's quite possibly either you or somebody connected to you, but I'm getting something about the back, the lower back area where the hips connect to the spine.
Well, you know, I think you do have something there. In her older age, you know, she did have
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because, again, she's bringing it up to me, and that's what they do. They share little snippets of their life with me. They give me little pictures. Like if I asked you, Sue, about your childhood, you would probably pick out two or three things that came to your mind. That's what the animals do. They pick out two or three things that are important to them or significant to them, and then that's what they show us. And it's all done with love, and it's all done with a tremendous amount of devotion and loyalty and just wanting to connect with you and wanting to be around you. And it feels very loving, and I just love her. I just love her energy. You have a very beautiful girl here.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, James, for everything.
Yeah, you have to come back up and visit us again.
Love to. Love to.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's funny when you're talking about her dog, I could actually see it. I could see it very clearly.
Oh, wasn't she incredible?
Yeah, I could see it.
It was just like liquid. It was so smooth.
I could feel the energy, too. I mean, I could totally feel her soul nature and everything.
Oh, it was really beautiful. I'm just so proud of Sue. And for those listening, you know, just remember, when their time comes and we have to say goodbye,
mm-hmm.
we need to help them on their journey. And we need to stay positive and remember all the wonderful things and the wonderful times and know that they'll always be with us. The bonds of love never die.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they seems, you know, just about everybody that came up to the ranch this last week were just amazing people. They're all masters, you might say, and you know, I had one other event that happened here, and I don't want to go into detail, but there was one. You know, you always get one. Informer running out of time. My clock is off a little bit. So, can you give out your website and how they can get your book?
I would love to. The website is KarenAnderson.net, just normal spelling, KarenAnderson.net. And the book is available on Amazon. It's called Hear All Creatures. It's at Borders and Barnes & Noble. It's also available on my website if you want to order an autographed, signed copy.
Okay. Great. Well, I can't thank you enough for having you on the show. We've run out of time. And, you know, we'll have to get you back on real soon.
I would love it. Thanks for having me, James.
All right. Well, have a good evening.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is James Gill with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.